Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of Glee 2024.
In this special collection of episodes, we'll be sharing over 20 interviews that we recorded live from our podcast booth at Glee this year, offering fresh insights from the innovators and trailblazers that keep the garden sector growing.
So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
For the last episode in our Glee interview series, we have some truly fascinating guests. Later in the show, we'll be speaking with Joy of Plants co-founder, Terry Jones. But first, we hope you enjoy our conversation with the former HTA president, Alan Down.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Alan. Thank you for coming along.
So, Alan, why don't we start off by asking you about your life in horticulture, running a successful nursery business of your own. Perhaps you could start by just giving us a little bit of that background.
Yeah, okay. I'm a lifetime horticulturalist. I trained at Cannington College, then Birchall College, then went and worked in North Germany, and then went back to Hampshire, having worked in container production and root balling of plants in Schleswig-Holstein. Then I came back to Hilliers and set up their container enterprise. There was just one or two sand beds when I joined them, and about 25 acres of container plants when I left nine years later.
Goodness me. So
it was a very exciting time when container production was just getting going in the UK.
So is that quite a technical thing then? I mean, I'm not a gardener.
Yes.
Okay. So for a non-technical person, is that quite a technical production thing that you have to do to be able to make them work?
Well, you have to be able to understand, you know, plants' needs, and they vary a lot. But at that time, it was the beginning of really garden centres, the early days of garden centres. There was demand there for container-grown plants all year round.
Yeah.
And container production was set up to satisfy that demand and enable gardeners to buy plants every day of the year.
Okay. I mean, revolutionary, really, because before everything was bare root.
Yep, absolutely. And very seasonal.
Yes, of
very
course.
Seasonal indeed.
And with this became, I suppose, the whole potting compost industry as well. Must have come at the same time.
It did. But we then, in those days, had Efford Experimental Station, government funded, really quite close to us. And they would do experimental work on the best compost to grow shrubs in, and perennials and trees. And then we would take that experimental work and scale it up and demonstrate that it was good or bad.
Right, goodness.
And so it was an exciting time. And I can see that we're actually in a similar period now with that transition from peat to peat free. We're having to learn to grow differently. Mm-hmm. We're having to learn a new technique. But this time, without that government support and without, you know, having to self-fund and trial plants and find out what's best. But I was fortunate in that I was successful in getting a Nuffield Farming Scholarship to travel in North America to look at container production and marketing for 8 weeks. I visited 23 states. So it was a big trip.
How long was that for?
Was for 8 weeks.
8 weeks? 23 states.
And they're big states, aren't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Nuffield Farming Scholarship Trust is available to people established in their careers. They tend to be more mature than many scholarships that are offered.
Okay, right.
So it's good for somebody who's got sort of middle management or has maybe ownership of their own business, but their business to an estate where they can actually take 8 weeks off and travel. Mm-hmm. So they have to be, you know, they have to be really quite sorted.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate that Hillier Nurseries let me go and do that.
Amazing.
And I brought back a lot of knowledge in terms of production and marketing to the Hillier enterprise. But, you know, having said, and to the industry in general, because one of the things you have to do is write a report and disseminate that information by giving lectures throughout the country wherever asked.
Goodness me.
And the Nuffield Farming Scholarship is still there for our industry and farming and associated industries. And I do feel quite strongly that of late, the environmental ornamental horticultural sector have not been applying for it, and it's a great scholarship that they that we should be getting within our industry to learn from others and then disseminate that that information to raise the standards in the industry.
So let's just make that clear. So it's the Nuffield Farming Scholarship, but it's not just for farming.
Nope, it's for horticulture as well,
right?
And viticulture, veterinary. It's quite wide.
Okay, yeah, it sounds good.
And it's UK based. It was set up by Lord Nuffield. Okay. He had two passions. One was health. Well, one was motor cars, because that's where he made his money. So one was health, the other was farming. And he put his money into those two things, so hence Nuffield Hospitals and the Nuffield Farming Scholarship Trust. And there's 20 scholars every year. I was fortunate to be one of those. And there's 20 still every year.
But
it's rolled out to me. You see, we've failed, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it's rolled out now to other countries. For instance, it's very strong in the old Commonwealth countries of Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Very strong. Zimbabwe, France, there's some from France, some from Holland, some from Germany, a few from the States, but they've got their own schemes.
Right.
Brazil's in it.
Wow.
And we are widening that family of Nuffield Scholarship. Now, you didn't get me here to talk about that alone.
No, but it's fascinating. So,
that was my period at Hillier Nurseries. Mm-hmm. I saw that lots of people in the States and Canada knew very little about horticulture. I think I knew quite a lot because I have a Master of Horticulture.
I think you did.
And I thought, well, hell, if they can do it, then I can do it. So coming back after a short period of time, we decided to set up our own business. We bought an old business near Bristol, which had a great location, but was very, very run down. Mm-hmm. And that was Cleve Nursery. We started growing plants there as well as retailing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The retailing took off big time, so we filled the space with everything we could sell.
Right.
And then 1999, 2000, we bought a small holding on the opposite side of the road and went back into growing plants to sell at Cleve Nursery.
Right.
So we had that for 35 years.
Goodness.
Yeah.
And you don't do that anymore?
Don't do that anymore. I retired 6 years ago.
Right.
And I thought that was it. Had a good innings, but then the HCA came knocking and said, would I stand it? Would I be their next president? And I thought, gosh, that's a huge honour.
Yes.
And because I knew lots of people in the industry, a lot of people know me, it was a challenge that I relished and have enjoyed.
So I understand, let's stay on that subject then.
Yes.
So I understand that your tenure as president of the HTA is coming to an end.
Yes.
So you've been doing it for 2 years, is that
two
right?
Years,
2 years.
Oh, okay.
And during that time, what things have you been most proud of achieving?
well, most proud of, I think what I've been most proud of is how we have achieved the, achieved is the wrong word, but we've got the ear of government, of powers that be. We've been much more successful in putting forward the benefit of horticulture, and I think COVID helped.
Yes.
We were able to see
the numbers
and demonstrate that, you know, the health benefit of gardening.
Okay.
And we were one of the first retail operations, garden centres, one of the first to open after COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that we now have an awareness of the benefit of gardening to the nation. Mm-hmm. But also we argue quite strongly that we can deliver about 50% of the government targets involve horticulture in some way or other, particularly environmental horticulture.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's quite important for you now or not you personally, but for the HTA to keep that in the government sights, you know, that the importance of horticulture and gardening in particular.
Yes, of course. And during my tenure, we had a deep dive into horticulture by the House of Lords.
I remember the visit to Chelsea.
Yes. And the report was good. You know, it was very positive and it showed quite clearly what we could offer the nation.
Yeah.
However, the past government took a look at it and sort of put it on one side. They had other priorities.
Yep.
But having said that, it's in the house, it's in the library, we continue to refer to it. Mm-hmm. We hope that the Labour government will pick up on many things there and deliver in the future.
Yes, let's hope so.
So what was the toughest part of your role as president, would you say?
Toughest part. Well, actually, we've had this transition from peak to peak free. Mm-hmm. I would say that's been one of the tougher things. In terms of managing that, but also I would add to that the trade difficulties we have currently with the new arrangement. And what really concerns the Horticultural Trade Association, well, there's several things. One is the biosecurity at the moment. Yeah. There aren't enough inspections. We're getting stuff waved through, so we're open to potentially importing pest and disease that we don't have. But it's an interruption to supply. There's an added cost to importers.
So can I just interrupt you there? Because I think sometimes people working in horticulture understand the significance of biosecurity. But I think people who are related to it, so maybe lots of people here at Glee who are in the retail side of things, don't fully appreciate the importance of it. So can you explain a little bit about the importance of that?
I'll try. Now, we know that 90% of garden centres and nurseries import plants in some way or other. They may not be aware of it. I mean, houseplants, for instance, nearly all of those are imported. With Brexit, leaving the EU, we don't really have an agreement. We're hoping to pressurise the EU to have an agreement of both importation of animal and plant products. They're concentrating on animal products. We want them to accept plant products are important too.
Right.
And if we bring plants in that have pests we don't have, we don't necessarily have a natural predator for it because it wasn't here already.
We've got a few already, haven't we?
Yeah, we sure have. And the same goes with diseases. We may import diseases which, like Xylella, for instance, which has devastated olives in southern Europe. So something like that could be devastating to the industry in the sense that it doesn't just affect olives, it has a very wide host range. Many, many woody plants that we rely on, core plants, such as rosemary for instance, could be wiped out completely. So that's why it's important. We're an island nation. We're a trading nation. We should be able to keep it out.
We need to have those...
Yeah, protections in place.
Yeah, we do. So you're going to be handing over the reins fairly soon. Do you have any advice that you could give to your predecessor?
Successor.
Haven't got my glasses on.
Not really, per se, but I'll be there to advise if I can.
Right, lovely.
And I'm just a WhatsApp or a phone call away.
Brilliant.
I think that Will Armitage, after the AGM, if he's voted in, because it's subject to the members' vote, will make an excellent president. And he's very, very well known in the industry. He was a previous chair of the Garden Centre Association, which comes under the umbrella of HTA, as does the Association of Professional Landscapers, so APL. So, yeah, I don't think I would advise him. And he's already very, very much engaged because he's on the board. He's taken on several things that he can see will go beyond my presidency. And I've made it fairly clear that I would like to go back to retirement.
I've got plans to
put on hold. And I'm not a spring chicken. And I've got lots of energy left and I want to make use of that before I fall off my perch.
So you are ready to let go?
Yes, I am. But I'm also there to support and to advise if necessary.
Yeah. Wonderful. So one question I want to ask is, what are you looking forward most to seeing at Glee this year?
Okay, so I always make a beeline for the plants. The future plants there, I thought were fantastic. Yep. Some great stuff there. Michael Perry's done a great job again. And I think that's a new feature that is particularly good at Glee. Mm-hmm. That whole green area there is well worthwhile visiting.
Needed,
it is. And I've had a look at the new products. And I have to say, I'm slightly disappointed there's no real standout new thing there that's, in my view, is going to
Sector.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the question was asked recently, how do garden centres expand in the future? Mm. They perhaps reach the end of development of catering, okay. Because already it's nearly a quarter of the turnover in many centres.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do we go from there? It's a very difficult one to answer. I think that theatre, we need to inspire customers to bring them in and really wow them. Mm-hmm. Many garden centres are destination garden centres already.
Yes.
But that's the one thing. We've got space, we've got fantastic staff who can build really good displays, and we need to inspire people to by visiting us, buying from us as well, as opposed to going online and buying something they haven't seen.
Not that
suits a lot of people.
I mean, that was one of my other questions is, you know, what are the opportunities for the garden sector? And I think you've kind of answered that.
Yes. And of course, you know, the HGA does represent a lot of tree growers as well. So there's, you know, the forestry sector, Christmas tree growers sector.
Of course.
There's a much bigger organisation.
Rose
growers, lots of different angles there.
Yeah,
and so picking up on the theatre within the store that you were saying about, we were talking just before the interview about the talent store here at Glee, and you haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
No, as soon as I've finished here, I'm going to see it.
There's a couple of stands there, and they're really well worth looking at. We interviewed both teams on the podcast, and they explained all the concepts behind their schemes and what they were going to be doing. It sounds great, and we've had a look at them.
Yeah.
They are well worth having a look at.
And it is what you're talking about. Let's encourage that drama, the theatre that will draw people in. So we need to keep going with that and pushing that every year. Because actually one of the sad things I found out about Talent Store is that quite a few members of the team dropped out as it went along. So I thought people were eliminated like a talent show, but that's not the case. But they just couldn't keep up with it, which is, I think it's a bit of a shame. So really be good to keep pushing it so more and more people want to be part of that.
Yeah, and understand. So I mean, it is a commitment. It's a commitment from both the garden centre and from the staff as well.
Yes. I did listen to the podcast that you did with them. Yes, I thought it was very good.
While we're on that sort of theatre merchandising within the store sort of conversation, you mentioned that when you went off to America on the scholarship, you not just looked at a container planting, but you looked at the marketing side of things as well. So what was that all about?
Well, we're talking 1980, so you know, that was last century. And but at the time, I think it's fair to say that the garden centres in particular were ahead of us here.
Shortly
after that, maybe within sort of 15, 20 years, the reverse was the case. The Americans were coming to us to look at our garden centres for inspiration.
Right.
Where are we now? I think we're probably still ahead.
Good.
So, yeah, great. But they were ahead at the time, and I was able to sort of pick up things that and bring back and disseminate here. One thing that I tried very hard was that there was a levy on plant sales of a quarter of 1% of turnover to put into a fund to publicise plants over the nation. And you imagine how big the states is from tropical to really very short summers.
Yeah.
That was quite a challenge, but they chose to use radio for that. Using the mind, you say, as opposed to pictorial.
Right.
And that was quite interesting.
Very interesting.
I tried to get that going here, but we're not so good, perhaps, at cooperating.
Right.
The Brits like to do their own thing.
Yes.
So that never really got off the ground, which is a shame.
Right.
But I'd still love to see a generic promotion for gardening that's funded by the industry and maybe with outside help too, rolled out in the future.
Interesting. Yes.
We touched on peat free earlier. Do you have a sympathy for those growers who are struggling to make that transition from peat to peat free? And would you have any advice for them?
Well, absolutely. I certainly have sympathy with them. Actually, one of the things I did as a result of my Nuffield was to come back and use peat free at Hillier Nurseries.
Right.
And we tried it for a couple of seasons, quite a big scale.
How early on are we?
1981, 82. It was very successful from the plant point of view. We had fantastic root systems compared to what we were producing before.
Yeah.
That was very noticeable. But what we couldn't get in those days was sufficient volume and consistency of supply.
Yes.
And it was very early days in terms of that. But, most of the Americans and Canadians are growing peat-free anyway. They do have a lot of peat that comes out of Canada that they do use, but many of them are using forest products to grow their plants.
It has been for generations.
Excellent. I think we've covered my next question.
Absolutely. So we're going to finish off with, I think, Alan, that it's fair to say you enjoy gardening.
I think that's fair to say. I've got quite a big garden. It's an acre. And it's a new one 6 years ago. So still building it up, actually getting to the editing stage.
And good soil? Do you have good soil?
It's a clay loam. If you get things established, grow really well.
Yeah.
But you've got cracks in the summer that you can put your hand down.
Yeah.
And then in the winter, water standing on the surface.
Yeah.
But first thing I did was actually after I cleared all the brambles and the nettles, I put a land drain system in, a herringbone land drain system, and I incorporated gypsum to flocculate the clay particles to improve the structure chemically.
I'll be testing you on this later.
Yeah, I'll be taking notes.
And are you a proponent of mulch? Do you do much mulching?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm a big mulch fan.
Are you a big mulch fan? Okay. Yes. I mean, for instance, we bought 5.5 tons of digestate this last spring.
Right.
Digestate comes from anaerobic digesters.
Yeah.
It's the waste product that's generally put back on farmland. But we were lucky to have an anaerobic digester just 3 miles away.
Well, there's rocket grow in Somerset as well. Or isn't
there is, but that's north of the county. I think that digestate is fantastic as a mulch.
Yeah.
I've tried compost that contain digestate to grow plants in without any success, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I think it has to be a limited amount in a compost.
Okay.
It's quite caustic. It will burn seedlings really badly.
Okay.
So we're quite careful when we use it as a mulch in the garden, not round soft seedlings like lettuce or bedding plants.
Yep.
But we apply a heavy mulch through all our borders, around all our trees. And I think 5.5 tons is quite a lot.
That's a lot.
Cuts down on the weeding hugely, traps in the moisture, improves the soil because it's pulled in by earthworms.
Yep.
We saw
yep.
the earthworm count go up by a huge amount because when I put those drains in, I thought, there's no earthworms here.
Right.
This is really bad. A side benefit that I wasn't expecting is slugs and snails hate it.
Really?
No, I didn't know that one.
So I put it around pots of hostas and it goes a long way to keeping them off. I won't say it's 100%, not this year especially.
Well, no, I don't think anything would
been
be
a
this
dreadful year,
hasn't it? But so do you have a favourite plant or flower that will always make you smile?
Oh, wow.
I know that's a tough question.
Yeah, tough question for a plantsman. And today, different to tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, okay, it's okay. Okay, well, I'll give you one that's really delighted us all summer, and it's the red bud called Cercis canadensis, Eternal Flame. And we've got one of those in a pot. We have one of the early ones that Sutton Seeds actually gave me to trial.
Didn't that win an award?
Several awards. It won Best in Chelsea. But it's just so many colours in it. And if gardeners can't grow Japanese maples, they can grow that because you've got that same delicate effect, moving leaves.
Yeah,
fantastic.
And it's a great plant.
I've
really
grown forest pansy, which I love.
Yeah,
so I've not
too.
Tried the Eternal Flame. I must try
it's
that.
It's like a different plant altogether
really?
In terms of that colour variation.
Right. Okay, we're going off on one, Phil.
Yeah, I've noticed that. That's good. That's good. All to be encouraged. But I think actually, that wraps things up. I think we've had a thoroughly enjoyable chat with you, Alan. I really enjoyed that.
And I think we could chat for a lot longer because we've got so much knowledge and experience.
We'll have shorter
interviews this week. Chat me up, I hope.
But thank you so much, Alan. That's brilliant.
Thank you both. Enjoy
the rest of the show.
Thank you. I'm going to.
Now, as promised, our conversation with Joy of Plants co-founder, Terry Jones.
really good to see you. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, it's really exciting. I'm so pleased to be here.
Terry, you've had a career in software development and are a keen gardener. Not two obvious bedfellows. How on earth did you decide you were going to join those two things and combine them to start Joy of Plants?
Well, I've always been interested in technology. Obviously, with my working in software development, I used to work for a company called Symbian. And okay. We developed the operating system for the world's first smartphones.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess I would have been one of the first people in the country to have ever had a smartphone in my hand, in
right.
my pocket.
Oh, wow.
So with that, on that basis, I've always used my phone since then for keeping notes right. about my life, about my hobbies, and about everything, basically. Yeah. And then I met our co-founder, Sue Tindall,
right.
Because we lived in the same town.
Right.
And
okay.
we met each other, got chatting, and I didn't know when I first met her that she'd been compiling a plant encyclopedia. But we got chatting about
did.
Gardening, and she lent me a copy. But it was on a CD.
Right.
And of course, whenever I wanted to look something up, I had to come back into the house
find
and look
your
on
CD.
The computer. So we thought, you know, we could really do with this on the phone. So I could carry it around in
okay.
my pocket,
mm-hmm.
so I could use it at the garden centre and all these sorts of things. So we decided to develop an app together. Because
right.
I had the contacts mm-hmm. and I knew how to go about it.
Right.
And she had all the pictures, she had all the plant info.
Okay.
And the knowledge.
So, and the knowledge.
And the knowledge.
And the knowledge. So this is what we did. But that was many, many moons ago.
Right.
But you were into gardening at the time as well.
Well,
it wasn't just...
I was a beginner gardener.
Okay.
I mean, we'd bought our first house and we had a small garden and I'd started, but I was finding, you know, finding information about plants. That
right.
was the thing.
Right.
And although, you know, the internet was in its kind of, you know...
When are we
randomly.
Talking?
So... We started Joy of Plants in 2010.
Okay.
So, you know, 2011.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago, no.
He says.
No. But what I found was I liked the form of her encyclopedia
mm-hmm.
because everything is consistent.
Right.
So when you look at lots of books and you look at stuff on the internet, it's mm-hmm. all very random.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't really trust what you see necessarily. So
yeah.
I liked
yeah.
the idea of using her data. So.
Yeah.
Once we'd got the app, word got around, our mm-hmm. local garden centre saw it, other people saw it, and they said to us, well, why don't you make a version of this for garden centre websites
right.
for people
yeah.
like us?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have this sort of thing
right.
at the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and so we made a version of the Plant Finder that's a plug-in for garden centre websites.
Right.
And it's all gone on since there. And that's where really the Joy of Plants that you see today... working with retailers,
yep.
that's when it was born.
Right.
When we've
okay.
the first product.
Actually.
But it's kind of gone on since then because we've sort of listened to our customers
mm-hmm.
and they've asked for more things. So after we had the Plant Finder, they wanted a tool for printing bed cards.
Right.
And that was the next thing.
Okay.
And this is very much us. We listen to our customers and then it's the next product and the next service,
mm-hmm.
the next thing.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So you've spoken at Glee this year and you're talking about new build gardens. How does that relate to what you do? And can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I was really excited because Ruby contacted me a few weeks ago and she said, oh, we've got a slot for you to speak.
Okay.
What would you like to come and talk about? And it needs to be something that's topical for the industry,
uh-huh.
that,
yeah.
that kind of works relevant and
yeah.
that might be interesting, but it needs not to be a selling thing about you guys, obviously,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
not
yeah. Right.
so direct.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about, well, you know, what do I see in the news all the time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I see and popping up around where I live is all these new build gardens.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about this. And the more I looked and the more I thought about it, I said to Ruby, look, I really want to talk about this.
Ah, okay.
Because this is such a fantastic opportunity for the industry.
Right.
All these brand new gardens with nothing in them.
Absolutely.
But
terrible
also,
soil.
But irrespective of that, we've got all these new people. All these young
yeah.
new people.
Often it's their first home, isn't it, that they're not renting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know anything
yeah.
about plants. And they don't know anything about gardening. And then thinking on that, I was looking at the garden centres and thinking, as an industry,
yeah.
how well are we looking after them? You know, what does a newbie find when they go to a garden centre? And this is where, you know, the content of my talk is all about.
Right.
It's about the fact that because at the moment they don't spend much money with us,
yeah,
we don't give them any attention.
Right, that's true.
And we're not really gearing up the whole experience for them to succeed. And actually, and this was the funny video I showed as part of my talk, I sent one of my team out. Because he's a designer, he knows how to imagine himself in the shoes of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I sent him out to do a little recording, video of what a garden centre is like for a newbie who knows nothing.
Okay.
And out of that, we kind of learned that for newbies, it's a pretty overwhelming experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so much choice,
mm-hmm.
everything. There's so much of everything.
Yep. Yeah.
And lots of words they don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even when people try to help them, they ask them questions that they don't even know the answers to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes them feel a bit stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it makes them not enjoy the experience. And they might buy plants, they take home, and then they die.
Yeah.
And then they go onto Amazon and just click a button.
And they go onto Amazon and they click on a button. And just like my niece, who, you know, bless her, she bought plastic plants.
Mm. Right.
And this is the danger because it's a very sensible decision when you think about it.
Yeah.
For them, they don't cost much. They don't need looking after.
They get pests, disease.
They don't get pests and diseases. You don't have to remember to feed and water them. Mm. And they look beautiful because years ago, we didn't have this. So we didn't really worry about it as an industry.
Mm.
You know, we didn't have so many plastic plants.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all the ones we did have looked terrible. So you wouldn't want them.
No.
But that's not the case anymore.
But then, you know, I wouldn't say to somebody, well, you know, if you're worried about getting a dog or a cat, just get a plastic cat. You know, people, they don't do that though, do they? But people will get plastic plants.
People will.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, at the end of my talk, a lady asked a really, really good question.
Yeah.
She asked, well, for a person who would buy plastic plants, how do you dissuade them? What do you have to say to them? What's involved in getting someone who's filled their garden with plastic to move over to real plants?
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's a combination for us as an industry to think about how do we make it accessible? Yeah. How do we make it convenient? And how do we provide the education?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's an interesting analogy between from garden centres with bookshops. In actual fact, because I think if you're a non-reader and you go into a bookshop, it is completely overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they've done really well over the last few years is they've got the tables of, you know, popular reads, and they have the covers show it visible so you can actually see the books. And I think that's really good. But, you know, I was thinking, and I think you'll like this this term, I think garden centres need a new UI. A new interface, a new user interface.
Right, okay.
So it's a technology metaphor. But I think it works really well.
The books don't die, though, if you forget to read them.
No, but it's just that overwhelming nature of going into into
a
garden centre and feeling stupid and not knowing where to start.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the simple suggestions we had were, and thinking from a design point of view, this is how we'd approach a software design.
Yeah.
Yep.
We think about what's our user journey. Okay, when I get to the garden centre, do I see something immediately that seems to relate to me?
Yeah.
So if I'm a beginner going to a garden centre, I quite like a bench that says beginner's plants.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
absolutely,
you know, and I don't have to do much or learn much about that plant. I can just choose what colour.
Yeah.
And they just need to tell me that I need to water it.
Yeah.
And that's all. But at that stage, that's all. And I'll be happy if I go home. And it grows and I succeed.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back next time.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, is that, you know, we want to have repeat customers.
Yes.
We want them to come back.
We want them to be happy.
We want them to be happy. And so, that's the kind of ideas. And then, as you say, with the bookstore analogy, and I really like that analogy, you have the beginner readers, the beginner growers, and then you have the next bench, which is the next step on.
Yeah.
And at that point, we can teach them about feeding.
Yeah.
We can teach them about repotting.
Different compost,
Putting them in the ground. No. Still at that stage.
We're not there yet.
No, the different composts are a stage on from that.
Right, okay.
You know, it's like one step at a time.
Right, okay.
We need to think about, because there are so many products to begin with, when they're starting to put things in the ground and with feeds, we just need general purpose things.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
Five different varieties of compost.
Yeah.
Which one do I choose? I don't know.
Ericaceous, what is that?
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's what my talk was really about today. And it, I think it went down well, and I think it chimed with a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I think it's this question of, like we do with software, we layer things, you know? So you hide away the advanced functionality. Mm-hmm. You have a beginner layer, which is just the three or four obvious things. Then the next layer down, and then the next layer down.
Okay.
And I think for gardening and for new gardeners, we need to do the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a first layer of plants and products, second layer of plants and products, and then all the rest, the wonderful, wonderful world of everything.
But and by that time, though, you're experienced enough, you're not overwhelmed by it, are you? You know, you're wanting to know that information then at that point.
And at each stage, it's exciting, but it's at your level.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So coming back to your product then.
Yes.
Can you talk us through the plant assistant kiosk?
Yeah.
And, you know, just talk to us about how that works and the sort of reaction you've had from the garden centres to it.
So we got to a stage where we've got the plant finder out on lots of garden centre websites.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of our centres said, well, you know, we really need something in store.
Mm-hmm.
And we met one of the digital signage suppliers at one of the shows.
Right.
And he said, look, what we do together could be a really good fit. How about, you know, for these customers who want it, we try and put the plant finder on the digital signage. So we've got touch screens in store. So, because the difficulty is with people, if they're using their phones or having computers, you really want something big that you can use in store. So that's what we did. We developed the what we're now calling the plant team assistant.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the plant finder on a touch screen, and they have it in the store. And it's gone down really well in lots of stores.
Brilliant.
I think it's really interesting with stores because they're not a natural home for computers.
No, not at all. Well, they're outside.
Well, that's the thing. So we've had a lot of kind of interesting challenges with the outdoor nature of things.
Yes.
And, you know, it can sometimes be very hot because some of these places are ex-greenhouses.
Ex-polytunnels,
cold at night. Mm-hmm. It can be dusty. It can be dirty. There's a lot of water around. So we've worked quite hard on the hardware supplier has been doing that. And obviously we've had some software stuff to do in scaling
of
things
course.
Up from smaller screen to a bigger screen.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good. But, you know, these are new tools that we're bringing into an environment.
Yes.
And so there's a certain amount of training we need to do of staff. And for them, it's a change in working practices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, so on that training part, have you found that some staff feel like a little bit threatened by it? You know, maybe some of the more established staff who have that knowledge and feel they're being sidelined a little bit. Have you come across anything like that?
I think that there's a couple of different things that I've come across. So for all of our early customers, I've gone out and done training in person because I wanted to understand, you know, how they found it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older staff members who aren't so used to technology were a little bit fearful.
Yes.
But I think a lot of that comes down to them just not being very comfortable with technology generally.
Right. Yeah, it's more the technology rather
it's
than...
It's more the technology
rather than what it represents.
Yes. And so once we've had them playing around with the technology and they see how easy it is,
because
we've made it as easy, really easy to use, you know, their fears are put aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They realise that, you know, it's not hard. I've only experienced kind of... overt sort of not hostility as such, but someone who felt a little bit threatened by it, on one occasion.
Okay.
Yeah. But then some of the other staff kind of laughed a little bit and reassured me that actually this person is a little bit defensive anyway.
Threatened by anything.
Right.
Not to worry about things.
Right.
And that sometimes they find that person a little bit, you know,
And to be fair, there are a lot of, because I did a talk today and it was about training up your garden centre staff on peat free and how to use it. And I think a lot of staff are desperate to learn because many of them don't have that background. So if you're providing something that makes their job easier, and often they're rushed off their feet in busy times anyway. And I've certainly, if I get my phone out, I've got to get my glasses on and I might be holding a plant. It's really hard on a little phone.
It is.
Especially for older, maybe the older generation as well, of which I am one these days. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So what's next for the business? How do you see the future panning out?
Well, the future's wide open and it's very exciting. So,
that's great.
Yeah, it is really good. We've got a lot more collaborations going on.
Okay.
So we are in regular contact with the RHS. So one of the things that we've got to do next week, actually, never a good time to do it in the year, but we have an update to do for our data for the RHS AGM status.
Yep.
Because obviously they update that every year.
Can I just say, in case, Phil, you don't know, it's the Award of Garden Merit. So it's given to a plant that is consistent and performs really, really well.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the annual general meeting.
No.
No. And this is where you see language is really important. Yeah. Already I've introduced a term that new gardeners and
will not understand. No, not at all.
And interestingly, the RHS at the National Plant Show, we had a really long conversation. Yeah. They've asked us to be part of a group who are thinking about what they call this accreditation.
Right. Okay.
To see if they can make it more more approachable for people, so that it's more immediately recognisable. So that's quite an interesting thing that they want us to come and help them think about that. We've also got an update to do to our library for availability. So a lot of new gardeners don't really know that plants are seasonal, and they don't really understand.
Okay.
Yeah, you think that's surprising.
Yes, I do find that surprising,
But lots of people don't know that if you want to buy a camellia, you need to go in the spring or the autumn, and the rest of the year they're not for sale.
Right. Yeah.
So we've been working with leading breeders and growers to have information from them about when they deliver into garden centres, so that we can have that in our library to say these plants are generally available at this time.
Right.
So we've got that to do. We've got a lot of marketing activities to do. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing some work with Paula from PP8 Marketing.
Oh, yes.
Paula Parker, from PP8. And she's got a whole programme of things that she says I'm not doing at the moment and I should be doing. So we've got those things to do. We've got a new service coming out, which we're calling Inspirations.
Oh.
And what we want to do with that is to start converting all those cafe visitors into plant buyers.
Brilliant.
So we're going to be using our information to play on cafe screens with some simple attractive messages to encourage them to go to the plant area, buy a plant to take home. And we're hoping that with our ways of understanding how to write for people, it will be really engaging. Mm. And the thing for that is to make it easy for the marketing teams too. So it's not a lot of work for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do it all for them, really.
Right.
We have a whole calendar.
Okay.
You know. And then the next thing, lots of new customers for next year, of course.
Brilliant.
And for our existing customers, especially the big ones, I'm starting to spend time thinking about how do we customise things more for them? To give them the differentiation they need. Because obviously, the more customers we have, they don't all want their stuff to look the same.
Yeah.
So we need to differentiate for them.
And there's lots of different groups. So you want their own kind of branding, their own. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get that. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's all of that. And the rest, who knows? You know? There's so many opportunities.
Yeah, that's great.
And so many challenges.
I love it.
So many challenges.
But I think you're excited by challenges. I get the feeling.
I'm a problem solver, I guess. Hard problems also.
Right.
Are the ones
classic
that,
programmer.
Yes. I like to find solutions.
Don't you find that kind of is a bit of a dichotomy with gardening, in that often sometimes there's just no solutions with gardening, with growing. It's you've got to let it do its thing. You've got to let nature take its course.
Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, for Joy of Plants, I'm starting to relax a little more.
Right.
And let things happen in their own time.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. Because everything happens in an organic way, doesn't it? Even technology. Actually, even technology. It gets shipped when it gets shipped, is one of our sayings.
So I'm going to finish with one final question. On your website, you say that your favourite plant is the Madame Alfred Carrier rose.
Yeah.
Why is that your favourite?
It's the first rose we bought for our garden.
It is a beautiful rose anyway.
It is. And it climbs across our front door, above the front door.
Beautiful.
And it welcomes us home with its beautiful flowers and the scent.
Oh, that's
lovely.
And
that's why I love it so much.
Beautiful.
And what a wonderful way to end.
Absolutely.
Terry, thank you so much for coming to see us today.
And thank you.
Really appreciate that. And again, wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at writeobara.com.